you last week was the Rashba saying that if you follow the Torah, the world will become destroyed.
Yeah, right.
Right. So I now want to examine.
Excuse me, the Ramban says if you follow the laws of Shabbos strictly,
yes,
then you can become a Rasha.
That's
but
right.
He meant it to,
but he meant it in the other direction. He meant that you could find all kinds of heterim which were inappropriate. But the Rashba is really saying, and we'll review what he says again this week, the Rashba was really saying that you cannot follow the laws of the Torah, strictly speaking, at least as far as public order is concerned. So I want to review the Rashba's take on this, and we will see that there are a number of places in which the Rashba repeats his claim, namely that as far as procedural law, especially public procedure as it affects public order, one cannot follow strictly the letter of the law as far as the Torah is concerned. We will then examine various instances in substantive law in which he allows for some changes, that is, not following strictly the procedure, but rather adopting local custom, or in fact, the custom of the country. And then we will also see some places in which he, or a place, a very well-quoted place, in which he violently rejects the idea of any such deviation from the strict interpretation of the law. And it will be part of our job to try to understand why he reacts so differently in these different circumstances. So I haven't Xeroxed everything, but I did Xerox some of these things, and I'll pass them out as we come to them. So I first want to read several of the Tshuvot of the Rashba on the issue of maintaining order within the community. I may have read two of these last week, but there's no harm in rereading them. This one is Chelek Dalet Simin Shin Yud Aleph. Sha'altem. This is the question. Eskimu da'at ha'kahal l'manot otanu birurim l'va'er ha'averot. We were appointed by the community to be inspectors to eliminate sin. V'chein nishbanu la'asot ken, and we took an oath to do this. V'katuv b'tikunei ha'haskama, and it was written in the agreement which appointed us as sin inspectors, she'yehe rushut b'yadeinu mishulton hamdina, that we will have permission from the Spanish government, li'aseir v'la'anosh b'guf u'mamo, to punish either by corporal punishment or by financial fines, l'fira o'danenu, according to our judgment. Hodienu, im ya'idu edim kovim al ruven, if two witnesses who are related testify against ruven, sha'abar al shvuato, who violated his oath, va'edim ru'uyim l'smoch aleihem, and these are competent witnesses, o im ya'idu isha v'katan me'sichin l'tumam, or if a woman or a minor testify, yesh lanu yaseret ruven o lo, can we punish ruven on the basis of testimony of witnesses related to one another, or female witnesses, and so on. V'chaim, im ha'edim o echad mehem krovim lo uvein, or maybe one of the witnesses is a relative of uvein, v'ra'uin anu am tala'ot, she'elu ha'edim amuim emet. And we get the impression, we see good reason to think, that these witnesses are telling the truth. Yesh lenu rushut lasot al pihem, afal pi she'en sham edut, I guess it should say berura. This is the question. Tshuva. Dvarim elu pshutim be'enai. This is simple. Sha'atem rasha'im la'asot kafi ma shenireh be'enechem. You can apply whatever procedures you see fit. Shelo nemru otam hadvarim sha'amartem. Those things that you said, elo be'beitin shedanin alpi din Torah. That's only talking about the laws of procedure, laws of procedure as applied to witnesses in a din Torah. Kesanhedrin ochiyotze behem. Aval misha omed al tikune medina, someone who's appointed to bring order into the city, eino din al hadinim haktuvim b'Torah mamash. He does not apply the laws of the Torah, really. Ela lafi mashu hu tzarich la'asot kafi hashah, but rather applies those things that are necessary to do according to the times. V'rishayon hamimshala. She'im lo kein, because if not, if you were to follow strictly the laws of the Torah, afhem lo yiknesu b'guf v'lo b'mamon, they would not either apply corporal punishment or fines, lefi she'ein danim dinei knasot u'bavel, v'lo bedvarim she'enam mitzuyim, and you wouldn't apply anything, especially of things which are rare violations. Lefi she'en anu danin achshav afilo b'din halbaot b'din Torah. The Ve'inan Elohim. We even don't, strictly speaking, have a right to adjudicate questions of loans. Shehem hamumchim va'anu hediyotot ananel v'shluchutayu ka'avdinan. We only act as representatives of the true Betin in Israel. V'chi avdinun shluchutayu v'mili d'shchichi k'dahot v'halva'ot. And when are we appointed to act, according to the Gemara, as their representatives? In common matters, avol b'mili v'lo shchichi k'gon g'zeilot v'chavolot v'sh'ar averot, robberies or physical attacks or other sins or crimes, lo, v'chein lo yilakev lo ye'enash al piatzmo, and similarly a person could never be punished on the basis of his own admission. L'fi she'en adam esim atzmo rasha min hadin, v'yafilu yesh edim k'sherim lo yilakev, and even if there are two proper witnesses, he will not receive corporal punishment, ela im kein hituvo, she'en beit din malkim ela achar hatra'a, if only if the witnesses warned him in the advance of his committing this crime. Ela shebachol elo hadvarim einan ela beveitin hanohagim al pi haTorah. This only applies to courts which follow the laws of procedure of the Torah. Halo tiru David shaharag al pi atzmo gerem eloki v'chein omim akim yonchin shalom en edin v'lo la'avor al divrei Torah ela lasot siag l'Torah, etc. V'chein hadavar pashut beineinu v'chein chol makamot sheyesh sakana beineihem al dvarim ha'elu. So therefore the Rashba is simply taking for granted that the laws of procedure do not apply to the Torah's laws of procedure as far as testimony and other things are concerned, or inability to enforce the law, do not apply to enforcement regulations of the local communities which can establish their own rules.
Why did he go to the Beis Din altogether? Why not just go to our call
to show him? No, we want to have internal Jewish jurisdiction. You want the Jewish community to be autonomous. You want this to be done by the Jewish community itself. But you don't want to... But it's impossible, he says, to follow the laws of procedure as are listed in Masechet Sanhedrin or Masechet Makot, or in the Torah, for that matter.
So then when were these laws of procedure to be followed?
Last week.
What he's basically saying is that these laws of procedure may have had some ideal justification in ideal times, or they may indeed have been applied historically in Bavel during some period of time, but in the regulation of the local communities, the way they existed in the Middle Ages in Europe, it was impossible to insist on the dotting the I's and crossing the T's of these laws of procedure. He's simply stating what in fact was common Jewish practice, namely the communities regulated, especially as far as public order and violations are concerned. If someone was caught smoking on Shabbos or engaging in some unpleasant illegal sexual activity and so on, he would be punished by those who were responsible for maintaining order in the community, even though the laws of Eidut and furthermore, certainly the laws of Beit Din were not applicable. And the reasons for this may be complicated and historical, but the justification is simple. Namely, there was just no other way of keeping order within the community.
Yes, sir, and Heter, how about that?
Well, he doesn't talk about Yisur v'Heter. At the moment, we're talking about laws of procedure, namely punishment and testimony. Okay? We won't get the Yisur v'Heter. It doesn't enter into his mind that there will be reasons to be made kill on that. But
we still use Yisur v'Heter. You go to a Beis Din,
right?
When you aser a butcher, a shochet.
Right. Well, the community control over the butchers was also in the hands of the Parnassim, not in the hands of the Rabbanim particularly. But let's go on. I'm citing a number of tshuvot in which he takes for granted that as far as the laws of procedure are concerned, you can't, strictly speaking, follow the letter of the law. But here's another one. This is the one that got you upset last week. This is Gimel Shin Sari Gimel. Amarati al kol ta'anot ha-kontro sazeh v'ro'ani she'im ha'edim ne'manim etzel ha-bururim, if the witnesses are considered as reliable on the part of the inspectors, the Rasha'im Haim Liknos Knas Mamona Ona Shagup. They are empowered to inflict corporal punishment or fines. Hakol l'fim mashi yivar elehem. V'zem makayem ha'olam. This is something that establishes the world. She'im atem me'idim hakol al hadinim haketzuvim b'Torah. If you judge everybody according to the collection of laws, the way they are found in the Torah, v'shelo le'enosh ela k'moshen ansha ha'Torah, and only punish the way that the Torah inflicts punishment, b'chavalot v'chiyotzei b'hem, and times when there's some physical violence between people, and you only apply punishment according to what the Torah says, nimtza ha'olam charev. The entire world would be destroyed. Sha'inu tzrichim edim v'hatra'ah. Kamo she'amru zal, lo chava Yerushalayim, ela she'emidu devayhem al din Torah. V'kol she'kein b'chutz la'aretz.
Still had to listen to that, because what about Tzari, Kosheves, and Boshes, and so forth, and so on? All that is...
He's talking now not about damages, he's talking about public order, punishment. The community has to control its members. How are they going to do it?
We just said about Kabbalah.
So he's saying, today, in the Torah, Kabbalah is treated as a part of civil law, namely to collect punishment. But they have to actually treat it as part of criminal procedure, to punish the person, maybe even physically, if he engaged in public violence. Maintenance of public order was something that could not be established on the basis of simply following the laws as they're written in the Torah.
They have jails.
And as we mentioned last week, on occasion he actually sentenced someone to death. He inflicted capital punishment on an informer. The Rashba. Okay. Here's another tshuva, which
anybody
is...
Anybody disagree with him?
No.
I don't want to say this, but...
No, no one disagrees with him.
Somebody else needs to give me some help.
All right. Here. Here's a beautiful tshuva. Hey, Reish Lamed Ches. I won't read the whole tshuva, but just selected portions. V'zeh ma sheheshavtei l'chacham Rav Yaakov ben Akshaf, ba'al yeshiva betolitola, al hanhagat ha'medina zu v'yisru ha'ovrit. This is what I wrote to so-and-so, who was the head of the yeshiva in I guess, Toledo. Okay. Da, you should know. Ki lashon raka tishbor gevra. A soft word will break the bones. So la'olam kol meishor u'meishor u'pnei derech l'pnei ha'am l'hasir ha'mefshala et ha'am tzarech lahalot min ha'kala el ha'chamura. You should always go from the easy to the hard. Ve'ein notlin kol ha'chavala b'yachad, v'yachar kavanat ha'lev ha'dvarim amurim, k'dabkva yodata ma sh'katuv b'nazir g'dola avera l'shma mi'mitzvah sh'lo l'shma. So he's saying, don't try to impose all the rigidities of the law all at once on the community that you're trying to reform, because sometimes doing things slowly, even if you're tolerating some avera, will have a positive effect in the long run. Uzachorna in Yan David Adonenu Malkenu Asher Nahag Lahalim Eino Meyoav Veshimi Afal Pisha Yubnei Mavet Vatanasha Amar Ki Ayom Yadati Shani Melech Al Yisrael Ki Lachol Zman Mezuman Vahalamat Ayin Meha Over Leitin Mitzvah. Not paying attention to a is sometimes the positive commandment. Vahakol Lefitzora Hashaa sometimes the Chacham has to have enough sense to turn a blind eye, turn a blind eye to violations. But I see that tzarich shitchazek im yana takanot b'tchila, v'lo yikanes b'machloket. You just have to let the enactments take hold slowly and not get into a dispute. Zehu atzati shetiptach b'lashon raka pa'am u'shtayim, etc., etc. V'tzarich, and then he says, when it comes to give a judgment, v'tzarich shiyehei adayan choshesh atzmo, a judge should always worry about himself, shema eish kinato l'ashem yitarach t'va'erbo, because perhaps his enthusiasm for God will burn within him, And this will cause him to lose judgment on how to deal with the public. A person, if he gets too from, if a judge is too from, this too devoted to his religious enthusiasm, this will cause him to lose sight of... No, let me read the sentence again. The judge should suspect himself. He should not let his religious enthusiasm, his jealousy for God, burn within him. A judge should not be a zealot. Do not let your zealousness burn within you, because you should, if necessary, to inflict all of these punishments up to and including the death penalty, you should always do it with consultation with the elders of the community, not let your personal religious zealotry control your actions. Being a zealot is contradictory to being a judge or a leader of a community.
Don't be like Pinchas.
Right, exactly.
What's wrong with Pinchas? Can we get copies of that last book?
You can get copies, you can have them all. I have them on my computer, so.
But if you hire a new rabbi in the show, it starts off with all kinds of, better reform the whole show and change, yeah, this and change that, instead of close all the bakeries. So maybe this is the kind of thing you should read.
Right.
He isn't going to take it from the Balabata, he may take it from the right spot.
Maybe. It's a good idea. Here is Chelek Aleph.
Well, I've seen this in, you know, what you're saying. It is like real life, even now.
Yes, it certainly is.
I see you shaking his head.
That's why we're studying this topic.
Yes. Okay, here's Chelek Aleph. Here is Chelek Aleph, Siman Tav Kuf Nun Aleph, where the Rashba, there's a famous tshuva, we've studied it many times, on the issue of enactments of... community enactments for the control of marriage. She'elat Adonenu HaMelech Yehum Hodo, Zivani Ladun B'Ketvavo. I was asked by the king to deal with this case.
Who's this now?
I'm still with the Rashba. I'm trying to get a picture. You were complaining about the Rashba, so we're going to stick with the Rashba for about an hour. Then we'll move on.
All right. Good man to be with.
So, Al inyan echad she'ira kan ba'almana achat. There was a widow. She'echad mikoveh haya nechnas b'chol yom b'veita. One of her relatives would visit her on a daily basis. Yom echad yatsa oto karov l'veit ha'kneset v'sidur tfilot b'yado. He went to the shul carrying his sidur. V'halach l'veit ha'almana v'edim imo. He went to the house of the widow with two witnesses. V'natan oto sidur tfilot b'fnei edim v'yamar la harei at mekudeshet li. He handed this Sidur to the wife and said, "You are using this for kedushin." But Tzivala Sofer HaKa'al Lechdo B'Shtar Kabbalat Erutan B'Halchu Min Ha'aretz. He then commanded the town scribe to take the testimony of the witnesses to this effect, and then they fled the country. V'Ha'almana Nitra'ama L'Melech She'elu HaKedushin Lo Hayu B'Ritzona Achen Shelo Midata, that she did not willingly agree to this. And these were, it was against her will. V'ani lo yecholti levarer ha'inyan mipi edei ha'kdushin, mepnei shalchu lahem, im hayta mida'ata im la. I could not verify the facts from the witnesses as to whether she did momentarily assent to this kiddushin or not, because they fled the country. V'achshav tza'aka b'fnei ha'almana, v'amarti sha'atzavel l'makadesh latet l'gita v'liyaser b'shvatim et ha'makadesh, hodieni ma'adun b'davar zeh. Tshuva. B'yamet hada'a notenet, certainly it would appear, she'nahag ba'zeh minhag ramaut ve'ena mukudesh. On the face of it would appear that this man was acting fraudulently and this woman is not married. Ela shemachmat chomer ha'ediyot einon yicholim nadun behen mi'omer ha'da'at. But because of the difficulty of the case, we can't just simply apply a judgment here. Ve'ein ani ro'el la'heter ela v'get she'yitein mida'ato. Only if the man gives a get. Aval ra'oi l'kansel b'mamon l'fi ma shi'ira l'dayan ha'mamunan en ha'melech. But it's worthwhile to penalize this person with a serious fine. Shelo yilmdu ha'ro'im la'soken. That anybody who sees this thing will not try it again. This is the way we deal with you.
What did you do wrong?
What do you mean, what did you do wrong?
You went through the procedure properly, didn't you?
Yeah, she claims that all he did was hand her a sitter. She didn't know what she was getting, and he said,
but they went away together.
No. The witnesses fled.
Oh, the witnesses. I thought you said the...
Doesn't she have to agree?
She claims that she didn't agree. The witnesses, in written testimony, said that this was a valid kiddush. She claims that this was a put-up job. Likelihood is that she's right, that this was some guy who was after her money, and it was a put-up job, and this was just an attempt to blackmail her into giving some money. But since there were valid witnesses whose testimony was recorded by the town scribe and aren't available for cross-examination, we just don't know who to believe. So therefore he says that we will force the husband to give a get. It even pays to apply corporal punishment to this guy in order to make sure that this kind of thing doesn't go on. Okay. If we want to enact some legislation to prevent these kinds of things occurring, yaseta kanava mamad kulam. You should make piece of legislation in the presence of all members of the community. You can enact a piece of legislation which will say that you will make hefker all monies which are given in this matter to a woman, unless it's done in the presence of, unless it's clear that the woman agrees, or unless it's done in the presence of the parents, or in the presence of the town representatives. V'chein matzati l'Rav Shriragon, sh'kein nahag hu v'yavotav y'amar l'tzibur ache echad l'hen holkein. V'chein yilameid adam l'toch beito. In other words, he's enacting legislation to give community control to marriages, and therefore to avoid. We studied this in detail when we were studying marriage law. So here the Rashba is willing to enact some kinds of legislation which will have the effect of avoiding the problem of false marriages. Okay. Now I will list a couple of cases in which the Rashba...
He doesn't cite any precedent.
He cites Rav Shriragon as a precedent.
It's not exactly enacting a new law.
There's some precedent for it. Okay, now here's a case in which the Rashba is willing to accept the law of the land, even though it's contrary to the law on the Gemara. Masha sha'altem, Beruven shemotzi zuzin, L'rushot harabim, l'mala migamal v'rechbal. Someone built out over the street. He had a house on the square, and he extended his porch out over the street in such a way that it doesn't interfere with traffic. A camel and its rider can pass underneath his porch without... But the members of the courtyard want to prevent this from happening. And also, the fellow on the opposite side wants to prevent him from doing this because he's blocking his light. This is what we see. Kol shehu lemala migamalu rechbo, any construction that's higher than a camel and its rider, in other words, doesn't interfere with traffic, ein b'nei rushut harabim yecholim la'akev alav, the members of the courtyard cannot prevent him from making this construction. V'af al pi sheshaninu b'per cheskat abatim ein motzi'im zizin v'gzustarov rushut harabim, that you can't build porches out into the public space.
What about air rights?
That's what he's talking about here. Public space has no air rights. That's what's being said. V'lo yahiv shi'ura l'mala ad kama, filo hachi l'madhu mimasher shanidu b'perek lo yachpo, ilan shu natelu rishut harabim, kotzetz kedei shi'e gamal over v'rochbo. Rav Yehuda omer, Gamal ta'un pishtano zmurot, Rabbi Shimon omer, kol ilan kenegel emishbalot mepnei atumo, v'kaimolant kamakam. V'chayvei ro, shekadam lo, v'tacha lo notav arushut harabim, kana v'zacha. But someone who opened windows at that space did acquire rights as far as his light is concerned. V'zeh sheba levnot kenegdo, tzarich la'achik mimenu arba amot. Anyone who wanted to build a porch of opposite his window has to be a distance of at least 4 amot, kadesh shelo ya'afil. Ve'im herchik 4 amot, and if he is more than 4 amot away, ein yachol la'akev alav. V'hu shelo yazikenu behezek ri'iya. And provided that this doesn't also interfere with a man's privacy. He shouldn't be able to see into his kitchen or his bedroom. Zuhi shurat adin. This is what the law says, what Jewish law says. Zulati im yesh shem chukei hamelech, kamo sheyesh b'mikzatet hamakomot, except if there are some municipal laws established by the king, which is the case in many places, shebechol ki yotzei b'zeh holchin achrei chukei hamalchut. In all such matters, you follow municipal law, even though if they contradict the law in Barabbat. So the Rashba is saying that as far as building rights and property rights are concerned, you follow the municipal. He tells you what the law is as far as the Gemara is concerned, but he tells you to follow municipal law. It overrides it.
Where in the Gemara is that?
In Bava Basra, in a couple of places. He gives the quotes.
So you gathered it from a few different...
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in both in Cheskat Abatim and in Lo Yachpo. Okay, I'll skip the next Shuva because we're a couple of Shuva because we're running a little bit. What time is it now?
8:38.
All right. Well, in the next Shuva that I wanted to read, he deals with. I'll just summarize it without reading it. He summarizes the right of building, of closing off a street in the middle of a Jewish district, where, according to Jewish law, the people who live further down the street can protest any such construction because it blocks their access. Whereas, again, he repeats that in the case that there are municipal regulations, they override the Talmudic law in this matter. Okay? Another tshuva, which is Aleph Taf Taf Kuf Mem Vav, 1946, he deals with the issue of evidence in loan cases. Sha'alta, Ruvain v'Shimon hayelach al echad chov al goy echad. They both were creditors to a particular non-Jew. V'ha'echad ta'an sha'avad shtaro. And one of these claims that he lost his IOU. But Sibaha Shofet Lachad Shola, and the non-Jewish judge gave an order to renew the IOU. V'gavabo kol nechsei hagar. And with this renewed IOU, he collected all of the property of the guy. And the other Jew claims that this was an invalid IOU
document,
an invalid document, and therefore, of course, the second creditor wanted to get his piece or his share in the property. Tshuva. Im taltalin gava eino chayav lo klum, ben shegava bedin, ben shegava shelo kedin, lefi she'ein din kedima metaltalin. Because there's no law of priority of debt as far as portable property is concerned. El im ken shiba nachatav metaltali agav mekarkoi. Okay.
Beim.
But yes, the first, whatever creditor was able to collect, there's no law in as far as collection from immovable property is. But that's not my point. The imgavakarka, if now this is a question of a lien on real property, aniro ebedinei hagoyim, shegoveva pinkas halkot, afal pish avad shtaro. I see that the Spanish law says that even if a man lost his document, he can collect on the basis of the registry in the town. They would register the liens in the town, and therefore, even if you lose your IOU, which would make you not a valid creditor according to Jewish law, the registration of the lien in the town hall is sufficient. Midinam nimtza shekol goy halove kevan shekatuv b'pinkas ta'arki harei ze ke'ilu hitna b'feirush, that any non-Jew which has the, according to the Spanish law, if he made a deed in which was registered in the town, it's as if he made a valid, an explicit agreement, that the creditor will be believed so long as he doesn't, so long as the debtor doesn't provide a, how do you say shover in English? A receipt. A release. O edim, v'shitehei k'tivat ha-pinkas shel ha'arki v'shtar. V'kol shekeim in tadinam b'chol kamelech l'chadesh lo shtar k'rekaim alandino de malchut adina. So this is a complicated case from a theoretical point of view, because what the Rashba is basically saying is that since there's an enactment that the debts can always be collected as long as they're still registered in town hall, that's as if there was an explicit agreement on all parties, and therefore Jewish law is being modified not because it's being overridden, but because it's as if there's an explicit clause. Okay? And he makes the same point in another tshuva. I want to get to this one, which I will pass out because it's going to be important for us. And this has to do with building permits and with a technical court. Larda. So let's read this pretty carefully. Reuven v'Shimon hayu mitamtzim b'din al inyan b'inyan echad. Reuven and Shimon were in legal conflict over a construction issue. Beheskimu b'neihem, and they agreed, k'mo shi'gzeru aleihem u'manei ha'ir ha'mumunim al-kach. They will follow whatever the decision of the town engineers are. Apparently the town had a committee of engineers which would adjudicate all building issues, and the Reuven and Shimon agreed to abide by the decision of the town engineers. V'chivu atzman b'zeh b'shtar. Asui begufan shel akum. They signed a non-Jewish document, a Spanish document, obligating themselves to abide by the decision of the town of the engineer's court. Umi sheyamre ma'ane imram, anyone who would deviate from the decision of the building commission, ye'anesh be'esrim dinarim, will be punished by 20 dinarim, achatzitam levin. The Vinyan Ha'ir, half of them would go to the building commission, umachzitam lachavero, and the other half would be to the other claimant. But nu mashkanot biyad umanim kemin hagair, and they gave deposits, sureties to this effect, as was customary in the town. The otam ha'umanim pasku b'nei hamikoach haknas, Vechivu l'Shimon binyan toch zman yadua. And they said that Shimon has to complete his construction within a certain amount of time. Vahodu Uvein v'Shimon bi'oto sha'a et apshara. And Uvein and Shimon agreed to this decision of the town engineers. Okay, well, what do you expect? V'avahazman v'lo asa Shimon et binyan. The amount of time passed, and Shimon did not complete his construction. Reuven tovea ha'asara ha'dinarim shel knas. And now Reuven says, pay me my 10 dinarim, which was a penalty clause in this agreement. V'Shimon heshiv da'asmachta hi v'lo kanya. Shimon claims that all penalty clauses, according to the halacha, are invalid. It's a general principle of asmachta lo kanya, which says that penalty clauses cannot be enforced. The rationale being that if I tell you that if I don't finish the building by March 30th, I will pay you $1,000 a day, it's because I'm sure that I will finish the building, but I never intended to pay you $1,000 a day. And therefore, according to the halacha, the rule is that penalty clauses are not enforceable as a matter of contract. Das machta hi velo kanya, ve uvein toe, kevan shi yesh tar, since the law of the land is that this thing should be collected, this is not an unenforceable penalty clause. Shuvah.
Why would it be possible to do
No, the general rule is in the halacha, in the Gemara, that penalty clauses are non-enforceable.
Why? Because it didn't take effect?
Yeah. No, because the philosophy is that if I'm a contractor and you say to me, I want you to finish my building by June 30th, otherwise you pay me $1,000 a day in penalty, and I agree to that, I never really agreed to pay you the $1,000 a day because I was sure that I was going to finish it by June 30th.
So
therefore, there was never any intent on my part to pay this penalty. And therefore, I can't be obligated to do it. That's the theory. The halacha.
All parties have to be honest in their intent?
I am honest in my intent. When I signed the contract, I was absolutely sure that I was going to finish by June 30th. I wasn't trying to rip you off. It's just that I was convinced that I would meet my obligation.
They don't put subject to natural causes.
Subject or not subject, I was convinced. I never really thought that I would ever have to pay you $1,000.
No, we did that. We felt for school. We had clauses, penalties.
Civil contracts, civil law, in this state is the same. Punitive damages are not in the civil contract.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a clause that says you have to pay me $50 a day, you have to be expensive if I have to buy a hotel room, I can't move in. That's enforceable. Your clause that says $1,000 a day, the clause that says punitive, and it's not just compensating for damage you're suffering from the way.
Punitive is not enforceable.
Punitive damages aren't enforceable in civil contracts.
Right.
Why bother putting it in the first place?
I wanted to convince you to give me the job.
You get an argument that it's not punitive, it's liquidated damages. Compensatory, not punitive. That's all the argument.
But in general, the halacha frowns on penalty clauses. Okay? Right, except, as you say,
as does the civil law.
Right, but, okay. Now, Shuba, mistaber, the ein kan mishum asmachta, that this does not fall under the rule which says that penalty clauses are not enforceable, mikama ta'anim, for several reasons. Chada, first of all, mishum de talah davar badatu omnim, because he made this dependent upon also, not only on his own agreement, it wasn't a private agreement, but it was a public agreement based with the knowledge and the enforcement of the town engineers. So, Mikzat migdolei rabotenu amru she'en asmachta ela betola bedat atzmo. Kegon, im lo parati mikan beyad ploni,
Have
because the person believes that he will fulfill his obligations. אבל בתולה בדעת אחרים ואומר, אם תעשה כן, או אם עשה פלוני כן, או לא יעשה פלוני כן, אין זה משום אסמכתא, דווקא מתנה לפי שאי אפשר לו לסמוך שיעשה כן, או שלא יעשה כן, או פלוני, כיוון שהוא ביד אחרים. קיום הדבר שתנאו ביטולו. ועוד, זה כיוון שנתן משכון ביד מאומנים, ויתנה שאם יבוא יפרע הכנס, בין בניין העיר, בין וחברו, ויודע באמת שיפרע חלק בניין העיר. He knows that he'll have no escape from paying whatever he obligated himself to, whatever Shimon obligated himself to Reuven, he may think that he won't have to cough up the money. But he knows for sure that he's going to have to cough up the money to the town building commission. ולא ינצל מצד אסמכתא, אם כן בדווקא אתה, ואין לומר שמחצית התנה בדווקא או מחצית אסמכתא, שבדיבור אחד אמרו ואין דיבור אחד מתחלק לשניים. Etc. Okay, so we see here that he was the main point that I want to bring here is that the Rashba has no problem whatsoever with the two Jews appearing before the building commissioner in order to adjudicate their case. Right. So,
how could it be otherwise? It's certainly loss of the land. The Jews don't own the land, own it.
This was a dispute between two Jews. Yeah, this is a dispute between two Jews. There was a buildings court. I mean, like you have claims court of, you know, courts associated with various types of administrative courts. And here was an administrative court manned by non-Jews, and it doesn't even occur to the Rashba to raise the issue, is this Archaot Shel Goyim?
It's really a tradesman's group, though, rather than...
It's an official court of the city. Bonei Ha'ir. These are appointed officials. These are the town engineers.
This isn't a personal thing between two people.
It's between two people.
Yeah, but the city has the rights of zoning and building laws. It's not there's no way a Jewish court would get involved in that.
Why not?
Because they don't pass the laws.
It's not a question of zoning. These people had a dispute as to when someone has to complete a building that he was promising to build. This is a private contract between two individuals.
Yeah.
The Rashba has no trouble with two Jews appearing in front of this non-Jewish court. All that I'm trying to make a point here is that on such a neutral issue as building regulations, as far as the regulation of contracts, as far as buildings are concerned, a technical court doesn't even occur to anybody here to say that this should fall under the prohibition against appearing before a non-Jewish court.
So I'm a little disturbed that we're not using the detail that the city is going to rake in a lot of money.
The court's always making money.
It seems like the city is as much a partner as anyone in this deal.
We will see that as we go through the history of things, all adjudications in these times involved money. There was a period of time in the 18th century when the Choshen Mishpat was translated into French because the French courts took over the job of adjudicating civil disputes between Jews, and they needed to know what the Jewish law was. And the reason that the courts of the nobility took over these adjudication cases wasn't because they wanted to enforce the Shulchan Aruch, it was because they collected a substantial fee for each adjudication. Adjudicating major cases was frequently a very profitable business. So that shouldn't trouble you, that was just part of standard procedure. The reason that I raise this is because when we get to the modern period, there's hilarious, I don't know what kind of negative term to use for it, Tshuva Rabbi Waldenberg, where there were two people living in a building in Jerusalem who had some kind of a conflict between them, and they wanted to know whether it was permissible for them to appear before the city commission. The representative of the city commissioner who adjudicated disputes between residents in a bayit mashutaf. And Rabbi Waldenberg says, of course, everyone knows that it's a very big issue to appear before the civil court, the Jerusalem civil courts. That's an issue, the oraita or what have you. It's hachol shel goyim to appear. But based on this Rashbam, maybe since the city commissioners are not really enforcing any written law, but only exercising technical judgment, it would not be prohibited for two religious Jews to make use of the city commissioner of Jerusalem. Ad kere kach, that's the situation. And which we reached. Okay, now I want to come to a much more widely quoted tshuva of the Rashba, where he really gets emotional. In all of these cases up until now, we've seen that the Rashba A has said that